a mature prayer.
Yeah, come on.
Wimps don't pray like that. Yeah. Weenies don't pray that way. Amen. He said, God, don't give me a lighter burden. Give me a stronger back. That's a good prayer, folks.
Yeah, I like
Amen. I'd like to pray that prayer. Amen. I just want to be strong in the Lord.
Amen. Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
I don't want to get weaker and colder as I grow older. Amen. But I want to get stronger in the
Come
Lord.
On, amen.
Amen.
Right.
I believe that's the will of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, it is.
I'm like that 90-year-old brother that got under conviction. And boy, he got up and testifying, tears running down his cheeks. And his little old cracked voice, he said, Brethren, he said, I resigned my church a few weeks ago. He said, but I'm re-enlisting.
Amen.
I'm not giving up now. Amen. Praise God. You said, I'm awfully tired. Well, he said, this is the rest wherewith the weary are caused to rest. And this is the refreshing. Amen. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. But it's good to be here. Our young ladies and Cherie, y'all can go ahead to your finishing school. I want to see what this is when you're finished. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. I appreciate Sister Cherie doing this and these young ladies that are being a part of this. I believe it's going to be a blessing to our church. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the ball's been dropped in a lot of areas of life, what we were accustomed to in our society. And one of those areas is just good old-fashioned manners. Anybody notice the lack of manners anywhere?
Yes, sir.
And so I think we just take up the slack and just teach it. Amen. Like the little boy, somebody said, what did you learn at school? He said, I learned to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. She said, you did? He said, yep. Amen. So you got to kind of work at that. It doesn't come natural. Amen. Praise God. But he learned some of it, I guess. Amen. Good to have Sister Cornette here tonight. God bless you. Good to see you.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Phyllis, you just look like you belong there. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Glad you're back. Let's stand together and look to the word of the Lord. I'm going to the book of Matthew, to the 21st chapter and to the 22nd verse. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 22. A teaching of Jesus, and I think a very, very important one. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, Be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall, I'd say shall, receive. My, what a promise. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And Jesus said that to you. Amen. My subject tonight is this. What will you do with your miracle? I'm telling you something tonight. There are some miracles waiting to happen in this service.
Somebody's been asking me, Brother Grissom or Tess, saying, we need some miracles in our church. We've had some miracles in our church. I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about in the last month. Amen. Praise God. But I'm saying, God wants to do more. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with your miracle? The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You know, it's, I suppose, to me, the most exciting part of Christmas is to watch children get at the gifts. You know, they'd just been waiting. I know how it was at my house anyway. You know, every time you'd see a new one, you'd pick it up and shake it, see how heavy it was, wonder what was in it. Amen. And whenever you finally get permission, they don't have to say it but once. And you pounce like a cat, hungry cat on a mouse. They're after those gifts. Papers flying everywhere. They're not worried about etiquette. They're not worried about saving ribbons. They're not worried about bows and pretty paper. They just want to get to what's on the inside. They want to see what is in there. That's why the Bible said that we need to be like children. You know, adults, sometimes we're so reserved. I mean, we can look at a gift and hold it. Amen. And look at the pretty paper. Look at the ribbon. Dilly-dally around. Because we're not too excited about getting it open. Amen. We're so restrained. And I think it's like a cynic. You know, he's holding a wrapped gift and I don't deserve this. And going through the false humility thing. Because in his heart he knows he does. He knows, he thinks he does anyway. Everybody shake your head like this. Yeah, Brother Grisham, you got my number. Yeah. I'm a pretty good guy, you know. All right. That's right. Come on. Admit it. Amen. And so they got the gift and they're not too anxious. I'm afraid sometimes we get in that realm in the spiritual. God has given us some awesome promises. And we're not too excited about getting them unwrapped. Hello? Sometimes we put up with a lot of things that we don't have to put up with. We're enduring some things we don't have to endure. We're going through some things we don't have to go through. Because the gift is there. It's already been paid for and it's already been prepared, but we haven't got to it yet. Amen. We're still looking at the wrapping. Amen. If we were like that little child, we would already had it open and we'd already be enjoying what was on the inside. Hallelujah. Faith is like that, folks. It's that desire inside of you that wants to see what's inside these promises that God has made to us. Amen. There's some promises that He made, and we need to get with them. Anybody need a miracle tonight? Anybody need a miracle tonight? Hallelujah. Well, Brother Grissom, why haven't I got it? One reason might be because you haven't asked. James said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. But in order for us to ask, number one, we have to acknowledge God, and we're acknowledging that we believe what He said. It's an acknowledgement of His promise and an acknowledgement of His Word. Amen. Jesus, I believe what You said that You are going to do. Prayer invites a relationship. And that's what God is interested in tonight. And as you grow in God and as you mature in God, it's not so much the miracle you're after as it is the relationship with God. Amen. Praise God. Miracles become the byproduct of your relationship and your love for Jesus Christ. You just love Him. You just love seeking Him. You just love talking to Him. You just love being with Him. Hallelujah. And then miracles spring out of your relationship with God. Amen. God is interested in having a good relationship with His people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then James said, you ask not and receive not because you ask amiss. And what does that mean? That means that you sometimes people are asking from the wrong motive. The Bible said in this case that you might consume it on your own lust. There's a message that was very popular in the last few years, I suppose still popular today, that's called the prosperity message. That God wants you to really enjoy, and He wants you to have everything, and He wants to bless you, and I believe that's true. But I don't believe God wants to give everybody a Rolls Royce. I don't believe God wants to give everybody an air-conditioned doghouse. I don't believe God wants everybody to have gold-plated faucets in your house. I don't believe that. Now, you can believe that if you want to, but if you're asking me, you're praying amiss. Amen. That sounds a whole lot like just good old human greed. Amen. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have that. If God blesses you with that, fantastic. As long as you're paying your tithes and giving your offerings and blessing the work of God, have it all. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But if you're just struggling to get by and living a life and consuming everything on yourself, shame on you. Brother Grissom, that's wonderful preaching, whether I believe it or not. Amen. It reminds me of a man that I read about in the Scripture that God blessed him. And instead of thinking about sharing with somebody else and blessing somebody else, he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. It's all about me, 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 me. Hey, when do we get enough? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I know I'm not preaching anybody here tonight, but you know, somebody might hear the tape sometime and think that was good. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just letting you know tonight, God doesn't answer every prayer because God doesn't answer selfish prayer. Amen. Again, I don't think God cares whether you drive a Volkswagen or a Cadillac. Don't make any difference to Him if you can afford it. Amen. Doesn't matter to God. He's not worried about that. And we shouldn't be either. If somebody can drive a Cadillac and afford it and still support the work of God like they ought to and still be generous, God bless them. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. That's great. Amen. Praise God. That we ought to be thankful that the Lord has blessed our brother or our sister in that manner. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. And so don't... What was that lesson we taught the other day? Seemed like it said something like, judge not. We better quit meddling and get on to preaching here. But anyway, James said, you don't receive because you pray amiss. Your motive is wrong because you're praying just so you can heap on yourself the blessing. Now hear me. If you're sick in your body, it's not wrong to pray for healing because it's already been paid for and it's already been promised. And that's not selfish. Amen. We are impaired when we are physically impaired. We're not able to do the work of God and the will of God like we want to do it. Isn't that right? You know, we are limited physically whenever our body is not in the condition it should be. And so we have problems. And it's okay to pray, amen, according to the promise. By His stripes we're healed. And it's okay to pray that way. It's already to believe that way. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I believe with Sister Phyllis tonight that God's still in the parts making business. Amen. I think God's able to heal the old one, or He's able to make a new one, and it doesn't really matter to Him. Missionary in Colombia was praying, and a bunch of a line of people going along praying for folks. And the Lord, he prayed for a man, and the Lord stopped him and said, "Go back." He went back to that man. The man was praying, had his eyes wide open, but all he had was some white orbs in his face. His eyes had no iris, and his eyes had no pupil. And the missionary, he was a blind man. And the missionary watched as God painted some brown irises on his little orbs, and then he dotted it with a pupil right in the center. And that man began to scream, "I can see! I can see! I can see!" Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's still in the parts making business if he wants to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give God the option tonight. He's able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with whom we have to do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So he said, "Seek." He said, "Ask. And if that don't work, seek." That's what that little lady was doing. Remember, Jesus went down and he went up to the coast of Tyre and Sidon so he could rest a little bit. Remember that? He came apart before he came apart. Amen. Took his disciples up there for a little R&R. And when there's up there, this little lady come and she started asking. She said, "Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." And he didn't say anything. That was just asking. It didn't get anywhere. So then she started seeking, and she raised her voice, and when he walked, she walked, and when he moved, she moved. She was sticking on him like a leech. Amen. Amen. Didn't she hear what I said, Lord? I said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon, and I need you to heal her." That was seeking. She just kept on. Amen. She didn't stop. And that wasn't good enough. So she started knocking. Amen. And finally the disciples got so weary, they said, "Lord, why don't you send her away?" But she kept on knocking. She didn't stop. And Jesus couldn't resist that. Amen. And when it was all over, he said, "Such faith I have not found in Israel." I come up here and this little Gentile lady latches on to me and hangs on when she's not even a child of the promise, but she just won't give up, and I've got to do something about her need. Amen. Praise God. So God can't resist that kind of faith. Amen. What are you going to do with your miracle? Well, you can reject it. There's some folks that have rejected their miracle. You remember, you talk about a miracle. I can't help but believe that if you had gone to a man's funeral and you had gone to his burial and 4 days later, he's up. He's out of the tomb. He's alive. He's walking and talking and praising and giving his testimony over and over again. Do you reckon that gets some attention? You couldn't hide that kind of thing. I got a feeling that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were popular people in the little village of Bethany, which is a bedroom community of Jerusalem. And I want you to know, when Lazarus resurrected, that news spread fast. Amen. And they didn't have telephones, but it still got around. Amen. You talk about it, that was a miracle that was undeniable. I mean, everybody saw it. And they knew that he was dead, and they knew that he had been dead for 4 days because they smelled him. Wasn't that Martha's concern? Lord, he stinks. It was just proof of his problem. Amen. Let me tell you something. God's not afraid of stinkers. The stink doesn't stop him. He just holds his nose and goes ahead and does what needs to be done. He called him out of the tomb and he resurrected. Hallelujah. Amen. My, what a testimony. But you know what? You know what some of the people thought? You talk about rejecting a miracle. They said, let's kill him again. Let's get rid of the evidence. You know how silly that is? The same guy that resurrected him the first time could do it the second time. Hallelujah. They were dealing with the resurrection and the life, and they didn't even recognize the miracle, and they rejected a miracle in their midst. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You remember the demoniac of Gadara came to Jesus full of a legion of devils. He ran out there. His naked body was covered with blood and with scabs and with scars and bleeding wounds, and his hair was matted, and he was filthy and dirty, and his eyes were wild with insanity and demon possession. People were scared to death of him. They tried to chain him like an animal. They tried to put him in a cage like an animal, but they couldn't do anything with his tremendous demonic strength. He would snap their chains and run back into the graveyard, and they would hear him in the night as he picked up sharp stones and ripped his flesh and cried all the louder. My, what a mess that was. And here Jesus steps on the scene. Hallelujah. And he tells the devil, he said, come out of him. They came out just to tell you how bad they were. They went into a herd of, what was it, 2,000 pigs, 3,000 pigs, I forget right now. It was several thousand pigs, and those, first example of deviled ham. And those pigs ran over a cliff and drowned themselves in the sea. I'm talking about some bad spirits, folks. I'm talking about a miracle. And when the people of the village heard that, the Bible says they came out and they saw that man sit. Everybody say sitting. Not running around, not rolling on the ground, not foaming and screaming and carrying on, but sitting. And the Bible said he was clothed. The Holy Ghost will help you put clothes on. Boy, I snuck that in there, didn't I? Wasn't that smooth? Amen. You get the Holy Ghost, you want to wear clothes. It'll help you dress right. Amen. All right, let me just thought I'd throw that in. Just every now and then. So he's clothed, and the Bible said he was in his right mind. His eyes glittered with clarity, sanity, and peace. And his countenance was joyful and peaceful and radiant with the presence of God. Amen. They were in the midst of a mighty miracle. And what did they do? They said, you killed our pigs. You got to go. Huh? That's it. Don't touch the pocketbook. And the Bible says they sent him away, Jesus Christ. They still had sick folks at home. They had fathers and mothers and grandparents and children that needed healing. There were some more people possessed of evil spirits, but they sent him away. They rejected the miracle. Isn't that sad? Amen. Are there folks that reject miracles today? It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. You and I see it. People come and you know the needs that are in their lives. And you know how desperately they need God. And you know how desperately God wants to help. And you know how powerful God is, and that He, with the Word, could change their entire life situation. But they reject His miracle. Not now. Not now. Amen. There are still people rejecting miracles today. And then there are some people that don't outright reject, but they just neglect. Neglect is one of the saddest words in the English vocabulary. Because neglect is so unnecessary. Things that are destroyed by neglect. Amen. What happens if you in a hurry and you neglect to put gas in your car? You've never done that, right? Few of us have. We were in such a hurry. And you know what? It costs a whole lot more time. Because in a little while, you'll run out. And you pay for your neglect. You neglect to change the oil in your motor. You can get away with it for a little while. But boy, it's costly when it catches up. We just neglect things. We neglect prayer. We neglect worship. We neglect church attendance. We neglect gifts and offerings. We neglect things in our lives. Amen. And it costs us. It costs us dearly. Neglect is so unnecessary, but it's so prevalent. Amen. In Acts 12, there were some people having a prayer meeting. They were praying because their preacher was in prison. And they were praying, and they were praying, God, deliver Peter out of the prison. Oh God, deliver Peter out of the prison. They were having a Pentecostal prayer meeting. And God sent an angel to the prison. And that was the door. I mean, it just opened up like those doors do. You know, they have the little eyeballs on them. It just slid open. The angel went in there, tapped Peter, woke him up. You talk about peace. God can give you peace that this world cannot give you. Here's a man that was, they were going to cut his head off the next morning. Because they'd already done it to James, and it pleased a bunch of people. So they said, Peter, you're next. He's going to face beheading the next day, and he's in the jail, and the angel has to come wake him up. He was so worried. Amen. Peter, wake up, boy. Amen. I'm getting you out of here. He stood up. His shackles fall off, and the door's wide open. And so he just walks out. He goes down to the house where they're having the prayer meeting. Oh God, please help us get Peter out of prison. And he's knocking on the door. And they're praying, Lord, please deliver Peter out of prison. Oh God, please get Peter out of prison. Finally, a little girl goes and opens the door. And she gets excited. She turns around. She runs in. Hey, Peter's at the door. He can't be. We're praying for him. God, get Peter out of prison. It's funny because we've done it. Hey, man, we're so busy praying, we don't have time to believe. Hey, man. Praise God. And so they neglect to check their prayers, if it's working. It works. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Daniel prayed a prayer. And he was asking. And the Bible says he prayed for 21 days. He prayed 3 times a day. He prayed 63 prayers. And finally, after the 63rd prayer, the angel shows up. And the angel says this. He says, Daniel, he said, I heard you and God heard you the first time you prayed. He said, and God sent the answer the first time you prayed, but I have been battling the prince of Persia and it took me this long to get here. Amen. What if Daniel had quit praying and the angel got there to deliver and nobody was home? Do you suppose that ever happens? Do you suppose God sends an answer, but we run into some trouble somewhere? And so we quit praying, and the angel comes with the answer, and there's nobody home. So he walks away with an unwrapped gift. Amen. Hey, folks, if you're praying, keep praying. Hey, amen. If you're asking and you haven't received yet, start seeking. And if seeking don't get it, start knocking. Amen. Just keep on until, keep on keeping on until God gets the answer to you. He promised that He would and He will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and the whole city went wild with worship and praise. They were saying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." They were waving their palm branches, and they were throwing their coats in the streets. And he rode down through the city to the acclamation that would soon turn to the cry, "Crucify him." But he rode into that city, amen, and he wept because he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but you would not." And then he began to tell them, "Soon there'll not be one stone left upon another." Talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, which came to pass in 70 AD, exactly as he promised and prophesied that it would. And then he said, "Because you knew not the hour of the day of your visitation." They neglected. It was here. Hey, folks, it was in here. It was in here all the time. But they neglected it. They read it on Saturdays at Sabbath. They were taught it from the time they were children. But they neglected it. You know what's going to happen, folks? There are going to be some folks one of these days banging on that door out there. Amen. And they're going to be trying to get in because they've called all of everybody they knew in town that was a member of the church and were faithful to God, and they can't get a hold of everybody and they can't find anybody. And everybody's saying, "Well, they were here, but all of a sudden they were just gone." And the rapture's taken place and God has taken His church out. But there's going to be some folks that neglected the day and the hour of their visitation, and they're going to be banging on the doors. "Hey, let us in. Hey, let us in. Hey, let us in. We're ready now. We're ready." Too late. Don't neglect your miracle today. There's going to be some folks jumping, trying to get out of here. Amen. But you can't get out without the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible said that if you have His Spirit, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's going to draw us out of this world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's necessary, folks. You need the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, "I don't know if I need it." Well, I'd be getting it if I were you. Amen. Hey, I wouldn't want to take any chances. Well, you know me, I'm going to wait until people start taking the mark of the beast, and I'm not going to take the mark, and they're going to cut my head off, and I'm going to be a martyr, and that's how I'm going to make it. The Bible said, if you can't walk with a footman, you're sure not going to make it when the horsemen come. If you can't live for God today and it's too tough for you to cut it when the Holy Ghost is powerful here on the earth, it's going to be awfully hard when the Spirit of the Lord takes His church out of this realm. And there's going to be nothing to keep you. Don't neglect your salvation. Don't neglect your salvation. You make that the priority of your life. You make making the rapture number one on your list of things to do. Amen. When you get up in the morning, you make sure that your priority is, I'm going to serve God today, because this could be the day, this could be the hour He could come before the sun sets today. It's got to be a priority, folks. Don't neglect your miracle. And then accept your miracle. That's the answer. Just accept it. Hallelujah. Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the last time. Calvary was looming large on the horizon of the next week of time. He knew that. He realized that he had a date with the destiny on a cross and a place called Calvary. He realized that there was going to be a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, and then there was going to be a glorious resurrection. Amen. And as he was passing through the city of Jericho, I mean, there was a crowd of people around him. He was making his way there. There was adoring public all around. He's making his way, and there's this little Oriental beggar man sitting over there with his old ragged cloak, dusty cloak around him, got his little tin cup, sitting there saying, alms, alms, alms. He hears footsteps coming. His heart begins to beat. Dollar signs come in his blind eyes. He thinks, this is my day. And then all of a sudden, he hears a name. Jesus. 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 And all of a sudden he forgets about dollar signs. He forgets about the beggar's cup. He just throws it aside. And he said, this is it. This is it. Amen. I'm not going to neglect it. And I'm not going to reject it. I'm here, he's here, and I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says when Jesus got close, he stood up and he took off his old beggar's cloak and he laid it aside and he started crying out as loud as he could in the direction that he could hear people coming, and he started saying, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And people said, shut up. He's not going to listen to somebody like you. And the Bible says he cried out all the more. He reached down as deep as he could. And he turned up the volume. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said Jesus stopped. And he said, bring that man to me. And somebody brought him up. And he said, what do you need? The man said, I want to see. Didn't beat around the bush. He knew what he needed. He knew what he wanted. And he knew that it wasn't too big for God. He knew that it wasn't too hard for the Lord. So he just went ahead and said it. I'm going to say something here that's not meant to be critical. It's just an observation. You know, sometimes when we pray, we said, Lord, would you just give me a touch, when what you really need is a miracle. Hello? You know what I'm saying? You see, we leave ourselves an out. If I don't get the miracle, at least I'll just get a touch. I'll get enough to carry on. And that's okay to get enough to carry on. But could it be that God just wants to go ahead and give you the miracle? You see, when Bartimaeus stood there before Jesus, he didn't say, Lord, I need a touch. He said, Lord, I need to see. If he needed a touch, that's probably what he would have got. And he would have walked away blind. Feeling good, blind. But he said, no. I'm here to get what I want from the Lord. I'm here to get what I need from the Lord. I'm here to get what He promised. I'm here to get what He's done for others. He can do it for me. And so here he stands and he says, I want to see. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Go your way. He didn't do that. He was disobedient. The Bible said he followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Hey, I know where I'm going now. You're headed for Jerusalem. I'm headed for Jerusalem. Praise God. He didn't leave him. He followed him in the way. Amen. What am I saying tonight? Amen. What are you going to do with your miracle? God has some unclaimed blessings. And he just might have some with your name on it. I don't know if they still have them around. They used to have unclaimed freight stores. People just never showed up to get it. They ordered it, sometimes paid for it, never went to get it. I think somewhere God has an unclaimed blessing place. Amen. We've prayed prayers and forgotten prayers. Amen. And God's got something there with your name on it. Hallelujah. I believe tonight God's got some miracles with your name on it. Right. Amen. Brother Lozano, I'm going to tell you what's happening. You see, you came down here a couple of weeks ago and we were praying and God said, I think I'm just going to give this man a testimony. And so he just reached down in there with a Holy Ghost Roto-Rooter and he flushed out all of those stents. Amen. And then he lets you go to the doctor. Somebody said, but he had to go to the hospital. How would we have known? They went in there, that little camera looking around, and they come out saying they're all clean. Hallelujah. Amen. They just got through saying they're stopped up. Amen. I'm telling you today, there's a God in heaven that still majors in miracles. Oh God, send us more people like Robbie Morris. Now that's it right there. It's Wednesday night. You remember? I said, hey, bring somebody Sunday morning that needs the Holy Ghost. And God can give them the Holy Ghost. And Robbie sitting right back there on the back stood up and said, what about now? He didn't want to wait till Sunday morning. Hallelujah. He wanted it Wednesday night. And guess what? He got it Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here tonight that don't want to wait till Wednesday and you don't want to wait till sometime in the future, but you're saying, Lord, I need a miracle and I really need it now. Hallelujah. God's still in the miracle working business. Hallelujah. That's all right. Just go ahead and get it tonight. He's here. He promised it. He wants you to have it. So reach out and claim it. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I think it would be good if somebody would just step out and make their way with their hands raised. Amen. Coming down to this altar. Lord, I need a miracle tonight. You know the miracle that I need. And you are faithful who promised. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't have a whole lot of faith. All it takes is just faith as a mustard seed. It doesn't take very much. God is not depending on how much faith you have. God is counting on His power and His ability and His own promise. That's it. Let's just begin to praise Him. Call on the Lord. 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 Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of God. We need a miracle tonight. We need a miracle tonight. Heal Brother Ferguson right now. Woo! Hallelujah. Unstop these arteries tonight. Amen. Heal this diabetes tonight. Heal this physical body tonight. Hilo moti shama kandala makitola moshita. Yes. Yes. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray right now for Brother Arnold. You see his need, and you provide according to your riches and glory. Oh, heal the body. Heal his body. Heal his body. Heal his body. Hallelujah. Thank you for it right now. Oh, we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name. Yes, that's all right.
Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now.
Amen. In your discretion.
If you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Yes, Lord.
Call him up.
Yes,
call him up.
Jesus,
tell him what you
want.
Church, call him up.
Call him up.
Tell him what you want. Church, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
And let her be
if
healed
you want
and
the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
You're a healing, helping, saving God.